You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Right now, you can get 25% off your first purchase of Strava Craft Coffee when you use code DNVR25. Not only do we love what Strava tastes like, and we pretty much run off of coffee, but it's also CBD infused, and that helps with so many ailments. It's different for everyone. Check out their reviews, and you'll be blown away with people's stories about how Strava has helped them. They deliver straight to your door, and after your first order, you can get 20% off indefinitely with their subscription service. So check out StravaCraftCoffee.com today and try out their delicious CBD infused coffee. Be sure to use that DNVR25 code.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, Jesse, AJ coming at you on a. I'm not going to say this was unexpected after last night, but the Avs are now officially on a COVID pause through the NHL Christmas break. So, I mean, I'm glad that they did it, but it sure feels like it came a day late.
Before we get into anything, happy birthday, Rudo.
Thank you.
And Allie, wherever she is.
Yeah, Allie and Rudo sharing a birthday. Wow, that's unbelievable.
Crazy. And while the Avs being shut down doesn't make me happy, for my birthday pick of the week, I am picking something that will make me happy no matter what. I am betting on the Broncos to lose. That way, if the Broncos win, I'm happy that they won. If they lose, I'm happy that I made a little bit of money. It works both ways. So I got that one going for me on the week of my birthday at very least. I also often like to use the same game parlay with that one. So you can bet on the Broncos to lose and bet the under, because when the Broncos lose, they usually don't score very many points. So that's my slam dunk pick of the week for my birthday. Get in on that one if you like it. Or, you know, if you're a diehard Broncos fan, you can bet on them to win too. Whatever you want over at the DraftKings. Go check them out. They're an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
We were just saying right before we got going. Good that they did it. This probably feels, or not probably, this feels like it probably should have been done yesterday. Obviously, if they win that game last night, it's like, whatever. They won the game, and then we get the pause. But 10 forwards, probably should have done this yesterday.
Yep. It was very predictable that this pause was going to come in today after they played that game the other night. But
Yeah.
And then I told AJ right before you jumped on, Rudo, that when I saw Lumberg – be one of the first Florida Panthers to test positive, I was like, This is,
here we go.
This isn't going to be great.
No. And it was not. Obviously, you know, we spent most of yesterday, both pre and post game, talking about how the NHL is just, the systems they have in place are ill equipped with dealing with this year. No taxi squad, no cap relief.
Does it surprise you guys? Like, because I was kind of looking at the other leagues right now, and obviously the NFL is a little bit different because those roster sizes are so big.
And because they can get away with anything they want because it's right. The NFL.
But, like, even them, even with those caveats, like, I'm honestly surprised at how little safeguards these leagues across the board have seemed to put in for this exact type of situation. Again, like, not to rehash all of this, but I talked about it before the game. AJ, I heard you kind of alluding to this on the post game, or like from the COVID side of it, I did not have an issue with them going forward with that game last night. You know, that wasn't necessarily where my huge issue was. It's the fact that they still haven't put in any new protocols in terms of cap relief, taxi squads, even after all the chaos we've seen over the last 10 days across several different teams. They haven't made any meaningful steps to make sure that teams can put not even legitimate NHL lineups, just a full lineup of 18 guys and a goalie. It's just really surprising to me how it's not just the NHL. None of these leagues seemed like they had really any type of backup plan coming into this season in terms of, you know, if we have to pause, if we have to postpone, if we have to, you know, whatever. It all just kind of seemed like they were like, well, let's just get it started and we think we're going to do pretty well. And it's just, yeah, it just strikes me as odd.
Yeah. The NHL, I think, especially because they were the league that was talking before the season and were like, hey, we're going to leave this open-ended and have the option of bringing back a taxi squad this season if we need one.
Right.
Well, it sure feels like they need one right now. So if this isn't going to bring it back, I don't know what will.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Taxi squad would really, I mean, the Jonas Johansson waiver claim hurt them.
Yep.
Yeah.
And to see them have the taxi squad roll out now would be.
Look, better late than never, though, right?
Definitely. But from an Avalanche perspective, it would just be like, that's bad luck, man. Like, that sucks.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. But you can't go backwards. You can only go forwards. So.
And so the comment that just flashed across the screen there in terms of vaccinations, it sounds like the NFL is expanding their protocols a bit for vaccinated players. If you're vaccinated and you're asymptomatic, you only have to turn one negative test.
Yep.
Which again, maybe wouldn't be a bad thing for the NHL to adopt, you know, because that was the case with McKinnon early on in the season, you know, for those first couple of games, asymptomatic, vaccinated, and like, he had to jump through a bunch of hoops to get back in the game. Yet last night it was just kind of like a, whatever. We'll just pull guys in the middle of the game, in the middle of warm-ups. We'll let Jack Johnson sit in the locker room fully dressed to wait to see if he's got it or not. It's just inconsistencies all over the place.
I think that's exactly the word, is inconsistencies. Is it feels like it's just random what the NHL is and isn't doing.
Yeah.
We've talked about teams on pause and not.
It's also easy to criticize, but of course. It's really like there's no blueprint for this. None of these leagues have ever gone through this. And certainly with the economic stakes that they have now, they've never gone through this. So I don't want somebody to be like, but 1919 or whatever. Like, no, they've never gone through this. They're still trying to figure it out. We literally have variants that are just cropping up and then taking over the world within a matter of weeks, where it's like this is like a constantly changing landscape. And it's really difficult for them to make some of these, like, it's very easy for us to be like, oh, this is obviously what you should be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's never as easy to pull all the big levers, right? It's when you're the one that's actually like captain of the gigantic boat that doesn't turn very fast. It's real hard to start trying to turn. So,
well, that's the other thing. Yeah.
We've spent like 24 hours being like, the NHL is idiots. And like, I think that there have been some obvious decisions to be made here, and that there are some really obvious pitfalls with how they've approached some of this. But like, also, it's a hard job.
I was going to say, that's a great point to make, man. Like, we can definitely lose sight of the fact that, like, choosing to shut down a game, even three games like they just did for the Avs, like, has massive consequences on the side of in-arena employees getting paid, getting a paycheck, you know, sponsors that pay a ton of money. Like, there is a lot of pressure. There's so much on the human health and safety side of it that obviously you have to put first and foremost, but there's a big cascading effect to this as well.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, as AJ said, when we don't have any of the decisions falling on our head on the negative side of things, it's a lot easier to say, well, clearly they should have done this, that, or the other thing. The other side of that argument is they've gone and done it now. Why couldn't they have done it at 5 p.m. yesterday?
Yeah, and I think just yesterday was probably just one of those things where it was like the team was there. They had gone through the whole process. There were only, I think without Kemper and Makar, it would not have felt like the gong show that it did. But when they started pulling guys out of warmups and then Jack Johnson wasn't ready to go, it was like somebody needed to step in and just be like, what the f? No, you're not playing. No.
Well, more than anything else, I was just surprised that someone didn't do that just because of the rate that they were turning up. I would have just made the assumption that, and it sounds like maybe that's kind of the case now a day later, I would have made the assumption that you were going to get a handful of positive tests throughout the game. And at what point do you just not have enough players to legitimately ice a team? Like, I don't know. I thought it was really weird. I agree with you. I think if it's not for those last two, it's all probably good. I don't know. The whole vote thing is a really weird kind of controversy.
It's like a really weird subplot where it was like, it's not like a vote, but like Bednar went and had a conversation with the team and they were like, and the team, of course, is just sitting there in its gear. They've gone through the whole process of everything and they're like, look, we have to play this game anyway.
Yeah, I think there also is like a point of like, I mean, those are among the most fierce competitors on earth. Right. So like I've done it before when you show up to a men's league game or whatever, you only got five and it's like, we're going to play, we don't need any subs, whatever. And like, it's awesome if you win, but then if you get your ass kicked, it's like, only had five.
It feels like the league at the very least passing the buck though. Right. Like, the league can't be like, all right, let's ask the players if they want to play this game when they're testing positive left and right. The league should have just been like, no, this isn't happening.
Well, I think the league should have either
asked
just said
them before they got on the plane to Nashville and said, hypothetically, like flies, yeah, let's say that five of you guys are going to test positive for the next 24 hours.
Or do you want to play?
you guys are going to play two guys shorthanded. Do you still want to make the flight out there? If they were sitting in Denver, they'd be like,
Yeah. So I think that's a great point, AJ. Like, I think if that conversation would have been had before, the league should have either decided before they went to Nashville and they said, you're not playing, or they should have just said, you are playing no matter what. If you get to Nashville and you get to game day, you are playing this game. The fact that I was driving to the bar to do the pregame, not knowing if the game was going to go on that night, like, that to me was the issue. Like, how do you not have a standard set in place for this situation of, hey, you're having guys test positive. Even like a flexing taxi squad. If a team has more than three guys test positive, I don't know. It's just crazy to me that there isn't something.
Where do you draw the line, right? Because these dudes are testing positive in the warm-up. So,
That's another problem. If you test positive in
the warm-up, what's the difference of you testing positive and just finishing the game positive? Like, I don't... clearly don't care about allowing this to spread to the other teams.
Well, and what's weird is that Nashville had seven guys that were already out of this, and it was like, why did it take the Avalanche?
Why were the
also having an outbreak for this to take place?
Why was Nashville not even a consideration in this conversation?
Straight up, we're an Avalanche podcast, so we're viewing it through that lens, but like, Up until the Avs started losing all their guys, like, Nashville had every reason to be like, this is total horseshit.
Yep.
We're about to have 2 points taken from us, in which we can't even be competitive.
And Nashville
against a division rival.
That arguably those points are way more important for than the Avs, given where they are in the playoff race.
Yeah, I mean, just their general outlooks and how people feel about those teams, like, you do probably think that those 2 points will end up more important to the Preds at the end of the year than Colorado, but you don't know that.
Sure.
And which is one reason why I thought it was Colorado's flippant disregard about those points was a little obnoxious. But I also thought that there was something admirable about them being like, we'll take on that challenge.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the thin line of courage, right? Is that you're talking about you're talking about doing something that could be seen as admirable, could be seen as stupid by others.
Well, I think it all kind of
our comment section for the piece that I wrote after last night, you have one commenter who says they should have honestly, I love that they played the game. If you're going to be a team that's going to win a championship, you have to be able to go through adversity. I love that they weren't afraid of the challenge. And then, of course, you have the other commenter who says, why would you throw points away playing with a partial lineup when you had the choice not to? This was dumb.
I think there's a part of it, too, where they kind of looked across the hallway and saw what at the time we considered to be a depleted roster, but then by comparison, it was nothing.
Lineup.
And so I think for Nashville, it was one of those things that in terms of the NHL, I think they looked at it as like, well, hey, you had the opportunity to call guys up. So, you have again, a technically full roster. Yeah, I don't know. I think we're just kind of spinning in circles at this point.
Yeah, we can go get a job at Ball Corporation instead. You can make over $27 an hour with them with a product technician job. They offer great benefits as well. And you can even get things like taking classes. So be sure to check them out to help get your resume filled out and find a job with a competitive wage. You can text GOLDEN to 77222 to get an application or go to jobs.ball.com. They also have plenty of opportunity for advancement as well with promotions available at 6, 12, and 18 months in the job. So again, hit up Ball Corporation, go find yourself a brand new job. And then after that, be sure to hit up DraftKings Sportsbook when you got a little bit of extra spending cash. You bet $1, you give a chance to win $100 on any NFL game. It's not even really a chance. You will win $100 when either team scores a single point. So yeah, it's a free $100 to bet with. You don't even need spending cash. You need $1. Then you can go have a bunch of fun on DraftKings with those free bets. Bet on sports that aren't going to get randomly canceled, maybe. But, find something good to bet on, whatever it is you want to throw some cash at. Maybe make yourself a little bit of money with DraftKings. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
Course, I'm telling you, man, European ping pong.
There you
the
go.
Over.
It's every time. hit up on that. Call 1-800-522-4700 if you do have a gambling problem. All right. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Some good news relatively here. 10-day break, essentially, for the Avs does mean they don't have to play three games without Cale Makar, without Andre Burakovsky, without JT Compher, without their starting goaltender and Darcy Kemper.
Devon Taves
as well on that list. So
Gabe Landeskog, who's just normal injured.
Yeah, also gets 10 days to get healthy.
Regular injured, and he was, what, 2 weeks?
Yep.
Well, yeah, so guess what? That was this week and next week, and next week is canceled. So see you in Vegas, sucker!
Yeah. Honestly, given the way the last 2 years have gone, you have to try to find, you have to be looking for silver linings, because otherwise you'll just wander into traffic and not really care. And seriously, this honestly can be viewed, one, it's a positive because you're not going to have guys trying to rush back, trying to get, positives to turn out and stuff like that. You're going to allow guys to be able to get better if they are showing symptoms. I know Devon Taves is symptomatic. So he's going to be able to get rested up. But then you've got some guys who've had some bumps and bruises throughout the season. Nazem Kadri, someone asked him the other day if he was back to 100%, and his answer was, yes. And I was like, wow, confident.
So no.
Yeah. But, players like him, Rudo, I think you pointed it out, Cale Makar still has that wrist and hand awfully taped up. He's going to get 10 days away from the rink without having to miss games. There definitely is if you want to see any levels of positives, this could be a positive small little break for the Avs.
Yeah.
A net positive.
Certainly a team that beyond just COVID has been plenty injury riddled this year. So even some of the stuff that I'm sure we don't really know about help guys get a tick more healthy here and there. The other side of that is, you know, excluding the game last night, that was a little bit weird. The Avs had plenty of dudes that were running on good streaks. So maybe they missed that a little bit, but I mean, let's be real. I don't think anyone is asking to watch more Avalanche games that involve playing four defensemen for sections of the game.
Right.
It's just not a realistic quality product that the NHL is putting on the ice there. And we see that with, it's not just the Avs who have had their break extended. It's the Florida Panthers as well have now been shut down.
Calgary Flames as well.
Yeah. Flames have had their shutdown extended, in fact. So, and as much as I dislike that it came a day late, it does feel like the NHL is kind of realizing, okay, we have a problem.
Yeah.
The Eagles are going on, by the way.
Yep.
They're
still skating.
Justin Barron and Mikhail Maltsev were both sent back to the Eagles today, and Callahan Burke's ELC, I guess, 1-year deal. I'm not even sure what it is.
I would assume it would
be. I think it's just a 1-year ELC. Yeah. Because he's not
old. He's 24, right? Yeah.
So that's officially been registered with the league as well. So now Callahan Burke is on a.
So when NHL the Avs deal. Need a league minimum forward, they have one now.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Interesting
guy. Do you guys think it's weird that they sent those two guys back down? And
definitely, you'd think they would be a little careful with that, right?
Maybe wait a day.
Well, just sent down doesn't necessarily mean join the team.
Actually flew there, yeah, that's true.
You know, that could just be a paper transaction as much as anything for all practical purposes. They could definitely be... because the Eagles played Wednesday, and I don't think they play again until tomorrow. Nope, they play tonight. They're also in California, so those guys may not even be there.
Oh yeah, good call.
Yeah, that'd be. We'll see on that one.
Yeah.
No, but
I would definitely say don't be in such a hurry to send those guys. I do think it's interesting that a guy like Jordan Gross isn't on that list, which makes me wonder if he's in protocol too.
I mean, there could be cap factors there because Gross is on a league minimum deal, I believe, as well.
Well, there's
no game tomorrow.
It doesn't matter. No game.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I would have assumed that they would have sent as many of the guys back to the Eagles as they could while they were shut down. And if they're not, it makes me think that they have a positive test.
Definitely a possibility. So,
I know this was kind of for the first segment, but in terms of the taxi squad, so I had a buddy of mine who was texting me. And, you know, he brought up the good point of like, okay, so let's say you taxi squad some of these guys. Obviously, you can plug guys in from the Grizzlies to the Eagles.
Yeah. That would be really hard to do right now on the fly because AHL teams have not planned for having five guys just not being on their roster at any given time. So that'd be tough.
It'd be tough. And my other question is, in your guys' opinion, who do you put on that taxi squad? Like, obviously, Jason Megna, Kiefer Sherwood. But, like, who else are you fine saying, hey, for the next little while, you're not going to be playing games regularly? Like, is Martin Kaut now on that list where it's like, hey, the AHL is not really doing much for you. The only thing else that's left for you to show is that your game can translate. Like, who do you just off the top of your head put on that? Let's say it's a five-person taxi squad.
Well, one of them's got to be
a goalie. Which...
So you have to have a goalie at this point. Johansson would have been the perfect
ideal
taxi squad goaltender for us.
In his replacement, it's probably just Hunter Miska, right?
Yeah. That way Eustace continues to get the lion's share of the starts with the Eagles. And then you also, Miska, I would say one of your veteran AHL defenders. So sure. Probably Roland, but Jordan Gross or Roland McCown.
Sure, that one's fine.
One of those guys.
Gross has been pretty big for the Eagles this year, so maybe let him hang out a little bit with them.
Sure. And then from there, I would probably go with Megna.
I mean, I think, honestly, I think...
Oh, that's a good one.
Do you even need a taxi squad of more than, like, three guys?
So, honestly, that was kind of my thing of maybe you just taxi squad three.
Yeah.
And... That way, it's as minimally invasive for your organization as possible, right, but still gives you flexibility.
And at least in my opinion, and to be clear, this is my own personal opinion, if you're in a situation where you need to last-minute replace more than two skaters on your roster, you just shouldn't play the game.
I mean, define last-minute. Are you talking like what happened last night? Or...
Yeah, if we're talking guys getting pulled during warmups, the game shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, and you know, if it's significantly before that, then you can call guys up and fly them in at that point, right? So the taxi squad is whatever. The taxi squad is just there to prevent essentially what happened last night.
Yeah, I would take an approach similar to last year where you don't want it. Maybe a prospect, maybe Kout. Mm-hmm. Who's
practice reps?
Like Kout is once again showing that maybe he just doesn't really need
might
to
just
be there
done
anymore.
With the AHL, yeah.
And that the big question is can he really start to sink his teeth into an NHL job? So I think that's fair. Having a guy like that on that team in that role, that would be. I mean, that's good business. And then having a veteran guy or two, and then on defense, they just don't really have. They just don't really have a great answer. You just need a body. With McDermott being able to do both, you should be kind of protected against that anyway. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think you're probably then with the goalie, probably good.
Yep.
Like it. The only reason I say it would be tough for the AHL is because they haven't given out a bunch of AHL deals to a bunch of guys in the ECHL. So there could be a total free for all in terms of contracts and stuff that happened that could just upset the apple cart of that league. So I would think that if they were to do something like that, you know, I don't know, maybe give them a couple of days off to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? Like, obviously you can't ask teams to just go sign a bunch of dudes in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, just give a bunch of dudes AHL deals is really what it is.
Yep. And maybe just have an agreement that everyone just signs guys from their own ECHL affiliate or whatever, but it would be a weird situation to say the least.
It would be hard. It wouldn't like stop the AHL season or anything. I would just it's just tough. Like it's
those lower leagues are the ones that I, at least for me, I really felt for the last couple of years because
they have, you know, to get the
right
whole, like ECHL players have contracts that give them very, very little money, and it's like pay for your living expenses.
Yeah,
right. They're not going to pay for your living expenses if they're not playing games.
If you're not playing, and like we talked, you know, we talked a little bit in that first segment about the fact that, like, look, there's very real financial consequences at the NHL level, and like that doesn't even touch the financial consequences for a league like the ECHL that, I mean, they profit. By comparison to the NHL, even the NHL, which is of the four major North American pro sports, that like the least cat, you know, the smallest cash cow.
Yeah.
Those leagues like the ECHL and stuff. I mean, like I honestly don't know if they can afford to have another season.
Teams will fold if another season like that happens. Straight
more
up,
more teams will fold.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking the AHL last year. Well, the Eagles were one of the very few franchises that did not furlough or lay off employees, and they just paid everybody full salaries throughout the season. As it was while they were trying to figure it out, but that was not sustainable. The AHL is a gate-driven league. It needs ticket sales. It needs fans in attendance. as you get into lower leagues, it only gets more true.
Yeah.
As you get away from the guys who are making a full-time living doing this, you start getting into guys who are teachers in the summer and shit, you know, like,
right.
So it's in that way, man, it's really difficult. But you know, hopefully we're not there and that they can continue.
I really do. And we talked about it again, silver lining. We talked about it on the pregame show that this variant does seem to be more transmissible, but less severe.
Yeah.
So you really do hope that, hey, cool. If it's as transmissible as they're saying, everyone in the league is going to get it. It's broken into the NHL. Everyone's going to get it. And you can kind of hope that this is one of those things where it's like, okay, cool. The Avs have been shut down for a week. You hope that they come back on December 27th and it's not an issue anymore. They can go for the rest of the season with maybe one or two guys that are, you know, able to avoid it now because their vaccine helps them fight it off now, you know, whatever. You just hope that is what happens come the 27th. You don't have to worry about it again. It's almost kind of one of those like, okay, well, they got it out of the way.
Well, this is where the league shutting down would make you feel a little more encouraged about that versus just a handful of teams, because a handful of teams doesn't stop other teams from getting it. Right? And there's nothing that says these guys can't get it again next time around. And it's just, I don't know, man. The one thing, like, I think that shutting down and all of it is the right thing to do today for the teams that they shut it down for. But it's also fair to wonder, like, okay, well, it's not going to stop this from happening again in the future. Are we just going to turn around and shut it down again here in a couple of weeks?
What would be your proposal for a shutdown? If you got to make the call right now today, what would you shut down and for how long?
I said it on yesterday's show. I would shut down the NHL until after Christmas.
So only a week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I
to support that.
This is the hope here is that it is a shooting star, right? That it burns bright and then goes out quickly. And everybody kind of gets on with it. So that's the hope. Maybe it's naive. There's no playbook for this. Anybody in chat that wants to pretend like they can see into the future and they knows what's happening next is guessing, just like everybody else is. So
yeah,
you're trying to balance all the factors to all of this, as well as you're trying not to continue to lose money.
And obviously, like, the NHL has to make financial decisions, but from a standpoint of health, shutting down just seems like the right answer, right? Like, yes, this may cause problems in the future and not solve anything. You may have to shut down again. But if you're looking only specifically at the health of the players, you have to lean towards the shutdown side, I would assume.
Yeah, so, I would agree with you. I mean,
so I guess, and because just based on what I've seen a couple of people put it in chat about the NFL talking about maybe playing through COVID. And again, I was talking to a buddy this morning. We were talking about how, and let me get through this.
Of course,
when I first say it, it's going to sound
well.
About how, like, the NHL has seen teams that have major flu outbreaks in the past. And the point he was making was, you know, and the teams have just played through that. I think that's maybe what you start looking at for next season, where you have a better again, just more information available to you, you know, more stress, more importance on vaccines. And then, I don't know, do you ever get to the point where if players aren't showing symptoms, if they feel well enough to play, you know, everyone remembers Gabe Landeskog's, you know, overtime goal his rookie year when he had the flu, scored that overtime goal against the Ducks, and he, you know, fell on the ice and all that stuff.
Oh, do you ever get to that? Landeskogging was a thing for a week.
Yeah. God. Like, do you ever get to a point where you just say, look, if you're not going to shut things down and do it that way, do you just let
I mean,
people make that decision, and I'm asking. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two sides of this conversation. One, we don't know what the future of this virus looks like.
For sure.
If the future of this virus is, oh, it just turns into the flu, then whatever.
Yeah, had you asked me this time last year what Omicron was, I would have told you it was a transformer.
And if that's the case, then great, and people can play through it, and it's really not that dangerous. Fine, great. The other side of that is, in my opinion, you cannot let teams travel around the country playing these games, spreading it and testing positive. We talked about this a little bit on the post game. These teams have to go to hotels. They have to deal with hotel staff. They take buses. They take planes.
Yep.
They go through public areas. And at this point, it's still extremely concerning to me. I don't see how they can play through things, spread it to themselves, whatever. If all the NFL players agree that they don't care if they spread it to themselves, fine. But then they also would have to confine themselves and not spread it to people outside the league.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Yeah. This is all – my brain hurts, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's – I don't know. It's just – it's all so tough. And I think what a lot of this comes back to for me is the information – take the NHL out of it. The information is still changing every day.
Yep.
And that's what makes so hard of this. Not only that's what makes this not only so hard to predict, but like literally what we know today is night and day different from what we knew 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, they were saying, wow, this Omicron virus, like, man, hold on. It might be way worse than the last ones. Now they're saying, oh yeah, it's getting around quicker, but it's really not anywhere near as bad. It's just, it's tough to make this a lot of these decisions. It's hard to think big picture when you don't know anything.
it's really hard there. But we can think about something else with some sexy pizza. You can
natural transition if there ever was one.
Is this the last tailgate we're doing coming up here? Is this their last home game? I believe it is.
I think so, because they started the year with three home games.
Yeah, so I think their last 2 weeks are on the road. But last Broncos tailgate coming up. You can get free sexy pizza and free Breck Brew at the tailgate. So you got to come out, have some fun with that. If you really want, you can take the party bus out and have a good time there. You don't even have to drive. We'll drive you back to the bar, all that stuff. It's a great deal. You can have some amazing sexy pizza, the East Coast style pizza that everyone from the East Coast here says is it's legit actual East Coast pizza. You're from Colorado, right, Jesse?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But so. I was just in New York, and I can say, like, honestly, it's the thing about New York is it's not necessarily like every place goes gonna be the best, but it's all really good. Sexy pizza is like right up there with that quality easily.
There you go. So we got some fair and equal pizza reviews coming from the DNVR Avalanche podcast. You can also check out Green Mountain Dental Group, the best family dentist in the Denver metro area. Maybe you had a little bit too much sexy pizza. You need to get those teeth cleaned. When you get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, you can get a free Sonicare toothbrush. So you're taking care of your teeth at home. They're also great at what they do. They'll send you reminders of when you have appointments to make sure you don't miss, even when you have a busy schedule going on. And we also have the Colorado Raptors, who are starting once again to fire things up at Infinity Park. If you haven't heard of, I guess they're the American Raptors now, my fault, not the Colorado Raptors. They are Rugby Towns USA's newest rugby team, and they are athletes who have competed at the highest level of their respective sports outside of rugby that have been brought in to transfer their talents to the game of rugby. Last year, they went 5-5, pretty decent to go 500 for a team of guys who mostly hadn't even really played rugby before that year. So this year, maybe expect even bigger things. And the best thing about these American Raptors games is that they're free. All you have to do is head over to AmericanRaptors.com and grab your free tickets for the upcoming season. If you can't make the game, you can also watch the game streaming live at AmericanRaptors.com. So be sure to check it out and follow our guy Colton Strickler on the DNVR Rugby podcast, following not only just the Raptors, but anything and everything rugby around the entire country. So a bunch of awesome stuff if you're into rugby at all from a Colton side. He does a really great job, honestly, even for noobs like us that have no idea what we're talking about. He's got 101 pods, so be sure to go check that out.
Shit, this shutdown means we should be doing an analytics pod.
Yeah, we could do that.
A lot of people ask me for stuff like that. It's like, it's just hard to fit into the schedule, guys. Not anymore.
Hey, so hold on. I want to ask a real quick question relative to the American Raptors. Are either of you big soccer guys?
I wouldn't say big.
I've heard of it.
I was having this conversation with my dad. I throw shade
at Yahir when I need to.
Oh, yeah. Yahir's on here. Yeah. So, for anybody, including Yahir, I was talking to my dad a few weeks ago. He's got a good buddy who grew up playing soccer. He's a big soccer guy and was talking about how historically the narrative has changed a bit in the last year or so that the men's team for soccer, they typically get their heads kicked in internationally. My dad was saying, he's like, I just feel like it's because it's not that big of a sport here. If we took all of our top premier athletes and taught them to play soccer, kind of like what the American Raptors do, do you think they would be like, do you think if you took the LeBron Jameses of the world, of the United States, and put them on a soccer field and taught them how to play, would they be up there with some of the best in the world? Or is that,
I feel like LeBron James on a soccer field would be incredibly funny just because he's 6'7" and physically built in a way that no other soccer player ever has been ever. And so you would be like, oh, is this like mutant league football now? Like, he would just be such a...
LeBron touches a dude on the soccer field and the guy just launches 10 feet right to the left.
You think Patrick Beverly dives?
Yeah.
LeBron touching anybody in soccer would just be like, I don't know. It's hard not to believe that he would just physically dominate that sport in a way that we haven't seen.
So
he may not. I mean, maybe, right? Who knows?
I think it's interesting, right? Because as the world stands with soccer, it would be tough to build an All-American team because the good players would just go to Europe and get paid, right? But with rugby, the rugby culture in the U.S. is like weirdly diehard.
Yeah, it's pretty serious, dude.
So
there's one thing we definitely learned when we were trying to get into rugby is that they take it really seriously.
So there's a little bit more of that rugby culture, I think, in the U.S. that allows like things like this to happen more than, say, in soccer.
Yeah, those Euro football contracts are insane.
Yeah, oh my God, dude. They make so much money.
It's always so funny when you see those lists of like the 10 highest paid athletes in the world, and you're expecting to see all the players that we know from across the various leagues at the top. It's like
six soccer players, LeBron, a golfer, and three tennis players. And you're like,
EPL, what the hell? EPL, 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 LeBron, EPL, EPL.
Tiger Woods,
yeah.
Yeah, do you have to pay a team $150 million just to rent this player?
Yeah.
That's what Floyd the EPL Mayweather, is to
EPL,
me.
EPL, 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 yeah.
Okay. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast here. We'll probably be pretty brief here, but around the league, Paul Maurice, his job is officially over, at least for now in the NHL.
His watch has ended.
Yeah. It's been a long watch for him. All right.
Yeah.
He's been around for a hot minute.
Was he not the longest tenured coach?
I think Cooper had him by a
little bit. It was him and Cooper.
Yeah. Okay. But no longer. AJ,
I'm dying to know your thoughts on this. One, because you have someone who is very, very close to the situation. Yeah, but
put
two,
Z on the show.
We've had some in the past. You and I have had some very interesting Paul Maurice conversations about who that dude is as a coach and stuff. And I'm just kind of curious to hear what all you think about this. I've got 69 unread comments. Hey,
nice.
I've always said he's Jeff Fisher of the NHL. He just lasted longer. So I asked Z before we came up on the show today, kind of because she's been listening to Winnipeg stuff all day, obviously, right?
Yeah.
And kind of general reaction up there is it's been a long time coming. It's probably a little overdue. A lot of appreciation for what he accomplished while there, but things had gotten a little stale. And it was pretty obvious that he had run out of answers with this group, and that I think there was probably a little bit of tuning out starting to set in. But there, the big point was that it was just time. It had just that relationship had just run its course.
Yeah, and so yeah, he did quit, and yeah, I kind of made the joke before. It would seems like a classic. Well, you're not firing me, I quit.
Yeah. The old mutual, non-mutual agreement.
And when you look at the statement, the thing that really jumps out is he offered his resignation and the Jets accepted it. Because normally when they release a press release and a guy resigns, it just says X resigned.
Yeah.
Like, just he resigns from that position. There isn't usually and the organization accepted it. Like,
yeah.
If the organization didn't accept it, you wouldn't be putting out this press release, guys. So they wanted people to know that they were cool with this move. So it very much felt like, out of respect for everything that you've done here, we'll call this a resignation, but dog, you got fired.
If you don't, you're out of here. I've always thought the accepting of a resignation was so weird. It's just like, what are you going to do? Not let them quit?
Yeah.
Like,
If Rudo tried to resign on me, that answer is no.
Come to my house and drag me out of bed and throw me on the pod or what?
Yeah. The answer is no.
Just tie him to the chair, turn his webcam on. It's like, you can sit there and not participate, but you are on this fucking show.
Now it really is a hostage video, bitch. Make videos.
How long do you guys think before he's rehired?
I think it'll be a while. I mean, where's an opening?
Yeah, I don't think any team's in a rush to get him, but I'm sure.
If you're an organization that's looking to hire a head coach, okay, and let's say you're a rebuilding one, not a cup contender. Paul Maurice or Jim Montgomery?
Jim Montgomery.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. The smart answer is Jim Montgomery, but
can I wait a couple more weeks until New York fires Trotz?
Buddy, that's not happening.
Yeah, that would be a huge mistake. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just one of those things where I assume that he gets a job this summer.
It's interesting to me that Winnipeg already said that Dave Lowry, who's the guy that's the interim coach that will be there, will be the interim for the year.
Yes.
I feel like that's kind of been a trend the last couple seasons with teams firing coaches is, well, we're just going to give this guy to the end of the year and then see what happens. And like most situations, they just end up making that guy the coach.
I get it. I get it for a team that is not – like Winnipeg isn't built for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, Winnipeg is built to compete right now. Like the Jets should be in the playoffs right now. The Jets should be competing right now. And I it's interesting to me that they would just turn over what should be a playoff contending team to a guy with no NHL head coaching experience. So, yeah. You know, hey, maybe it goes well. He's been an assistant for a long time. So he's coached a number of different WHL teams. So maybe it goes well. And, you know, it's not a big deal at all. But just looking at it, that was the part that surprised me the most.
Separate topic. Someone put in here that Spezza has had his suspension reduced.
Okay. So he appealed it and they reduced, yeah.
Sounds about right.
I'm honestly a little surprised that Gary Bettman went against his
Happens all the time.
That regularly.
Outside of the Kadri one in the playoffs last year, I'm trying to think of a significant suspension that didn't get reduced.
When appealed.
Well, yeah. Well,
so the last one that I can think of that did, it did, but the player only got the money back. He sat out all the games. Sure. Gary Bettman didn't announce the
that happened to Wilson, right?
Yeah, I think it was Wilson. Yeah, he didn't announce the appeal until after he had served the full amount of games. And they were like, oh, well, we'll get some money back. I don't know. I thought it was weird. I assumed the independent arbitrator would be the one to reduce it. I didn't think Gary Bettman would. I'm a little surprised by that. I can't imagine that George Parros is very happy with Gary Bettman right now. Because that's him basically saying, yeah, my team got it wrong.
Well, his team gets it wrong all the time. So.
Oh, for sure. That's why I'm surprised, because he normally full throat backs him up. He's like, yeah, no, they're doing a great job. That was absolutely the right call. And it's like, no. Anybody with eyes knows that wasn't right. And I agree with Spezza's being reduced. Honestly, I don't think he was trying to knee the guy in the head. I think he was trying to go out of his way to hit him, but I don't think he was intentionally.
I think he went out there to turn. I think he went out there and hurt him and did.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I just said. But I don't think he was trying to, you know, Falcon knee him in the head.
Let's ask you this, Jesse, because AJ and I have talked about this on the show a decent amount. We are always kind of landing on the side of suspensions should be harsher than they are in the NHL, just to make it more of a deterrent. Do you kind of fall in that same category, or are you okay with obviously targeting of the suspensions right. is bad, but length is what I'm talking about.
I think depending on what it is, yes, I agree with what you just said. That like I think some of the stuff that is blatant. This guy went out there to run this guy from behind, to give him a cross check in the head, to, you know, cross check a guy in the mouth. Like when they dole out those one game suspensions, it's like, just fine him. If all you're going to do is give him one game, just fine him. Like, honestly, I'm this may not be very popular amongst Avs fans, but like, I didn't have necessarily a huge issue with the length of the Kadri suspension. I think it should have been more of a till the end of the first round kind of thing, because he ultimately ended up getting suspended for two rounds. But roundabout way of saying, yes, I think if you get to the point where you say this meets the criteria for supplemental discipline, then it, very rarely are you talking about something that's one game. If you think something's one game worthy, just fine him. But if you think that the dude needs to be suspended, suspend him. I also fully agree with the comment that just flashed across the bottom of the screen. Some of these ones that we see that cause significant injuries, I think that player should have to sit until the other player is cleared to play again. Like, we've seen some of these over the last couple seasons where a player gets hurt and it can end their season, put them on the shelf for 8 to 12 weeks, and the player that hurt him serves a two-game suspension. And it's like, cool, yeah, that guy lost out on 40K, which, like, to us, that's a big deal to lose in a week. I wouldn't want to lose $40,000 in a week. But the other guy can't play for 2 months. That is one thing that I think it should be situational. If it's determined you went out there to injure a guy and he is injured, you should have to sit until he's good to play again.
The other side of this conversation that we always have is, other than losing the player, you know, if it's a high caliber player for the team, there's no team punishment here for losing that. Like, they don't lose a roster spot. If that player is suspended, they can replace him with whatever call up they want to make.
Huh.
I also think that they need to do, I know they do the little explanation videos, but I think there should be way more transparency in how they arrived at those decisions. Cause I'll be honest, there are some where the Lomberg hit the other night, I didn't get a chance to talk about it cause I was at the game. It was a clean hit.
Yep.
You know, and so, you know, I saw people being upset about, you know, the fact that there was no supplemental discipline for that. I don't think there should have been. So like there's definitely parts of that where I agree when they don't pursue, you know, what's the phrase I just said like three times? Supplemental discipline. But I just think that it would be very good for them to open up more transparency. Yeah,
show the ones where they don't give any discipline to, show their explanations for ones that right. aren't suspension worthy.
Yeah. And that also goes back to AJ, what you talked about yesterday on Denver Sports Podcast. I fully agree. Officials should have to do media availability, and Department of Player Safety should have to do media availability after every suspension that's handed out. Zoom call. George yep. Parros should have to answer questions. And again, if you're actually that confident in your ruling to either not suspend someone or, you know, Kadri suspend him for 8 games, you should have to get up and say, here is why we did this. This is the criteria it met. And I also think it's fucking stupid that repeat offender applies to the money side of it, but not the, like, it's just, there's
repeat offender needs to be
clarified.
Like it needs to be what people use it as.
Yeah.
Right. And not this really weird, like specific, like
statute of limitations.
It's
yeah.
only used for the escalating the fines. Like what?
Yeah. So dumb. Like I think there's so much of the process that you don't even need to like mass overhaul it. I just think that they need to allow for some more transparency and explain what they're actually doing. Not those 2-minute videos on Wednesday night, this player, it's like, yeah, we know.
We've seen the clip. Just tell us what's wrong and why you're suspending.
Right. Like we get everything that you're talking about. Show us the conversation. Show us the transcript of what went down when they were, you know, rewatching this hit. Like I just, that to me is where the biggest issue with it is none of those guys from officials up to people handing out fines and suspensions have to explain themselves to anyone except for Gary Bettman behind closed doors, which goes back to the Spezza thing. I'm surprised that he handed down a ruling that basically says, yeah, I think my guys got it wrong. Cause that is very much not typically how that part of the NHL operates.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we may never know exactly what's going on there, but AJ, you look like you're digging into something over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a quick thing. Altitude and Comcast agreed on mediation today, in which they will
work. I saw that too.
Yeah, Altitude is also going to make a revised offer to Comcast in advance of mediation, but they've at least in court agreed to mediation so that they can work to some agreement to get them back on television.
Who was it that is kind of forcing the hand of this? Was it? There was some government official or some government agency that, or no, it was a judge. A judge ordered that they stop the stalemate of not talking. Because I know a bunch of the Altitude lawsuits have been thrown out, and I'm pretty sure I read recently that it was court ordered that, like, okay, enough. Figure out what's going on and. That's awesome. That's a huge win for the folks of Colorado.
I'm not as optimistic about it. I don't know that anything actually comes of that, but
I mean, they have to actually do it, but it's just the next step. So
yeah,
until something is signed and they're really back on air, it's just like, okay.
I mean, I don't think like they can go to mediation, but Comcast doesn't have to agree to anything. Right. But anyway, yeah. If more news that's actually relevant breaks on that, you know, you can find it here. It would be nice to have the Avs back on Comcast, no doubt. So hopefully something gets done, but we'll see. Anyway, we're going to wrap up the show for today. We should be live with something tomorrow. Originally, obviously, it was going to be a game, but we'll get you your fifth pod.
Oh, yeah. God, I hadn't even thought about it. We have a fifth watch show to do tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah, there goes our watch along
gone too. So we'll do some kind of podcast for you, not sure exactly what, but either way, we appreciate all y'all hanging out with us. Super awesome to see all y'all guys as always. We will be back tomorrow. And until then, we will talk to you all next time.